Live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
They can't even fathom how little we care about the Iowa caucus. I can't even... There's no way even really to quantify how little interest I have in what a bunch of, like, you know, hicks on tractors think about the presidential race. It's impossible even to convey how little it means to me.
No, come on, they're good people. Salt of the earth.
These corn-fed folks.
The common clay of the New West. All right, it's 3 minutes, 24 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of January in the year of our Lord, 2004. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, where the... I don't understand the winter storm thing. So it's going to be what?
Well, it says here, a winter storm warning remains in effect through Friday. Now, this is dated today. It says for the greater Portland metro area, which is where we live.
This is going to be more snow again. We're not going to be stuck in our goddamn houses again,
but,
are we?
No, it doesn't mention snow, just freezing rain, but it mentions today, tonight, and then it skips to Thursday.
Wednesday's a bonus mystery day. Wednesday's a...
And tomorrow.
Wednesday's... It's sort of a Mad Lib weather forecast. You can just sort of... Wednesday will just be toads. Toads and boiling tar falling from the sky like so much ooble. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-59. I forgot to use the bathroom before the show. I'm just going
to take a break.
This whole segment, I'm just going to be shifting uncomfortably in my seat. Just picture that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800... Well, there was somebody in there. I don't like to use the...
It's not like there's one facility in there, man.
Well, there's three. We've got the, you know, because you got the men's room, the women's room, and then...
Like unisex.
Yeah, the unisex, which is...
That's a good one.
God bless the handicapped, because without them, it's like you'd never be able to take a whiz in private. You know what I mean? It's like if it wasn't for people in wheelchairs, you'd have to whiz next to other people all the time. So thankfully, due to the handicapped and the retarded, you're able to take a whiz in private here at Fisher, now Intercom, because there's a unisex bathroom. And then sometimes it's busy. And then you either have to stand next to you know, a bunch of other people, or you wait. I opted to wait. So while you don't care about this. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955, or I guess I just gave them both there. I don't know what I'm doing. I've only kind of got a passing relationship with consciousness right now, but the caffeine will kick in later. So you just, coming up later on this hour, we got the Hick Watch, Jackson Watch, Bush Watch, J-Lo Watch. John Bisney will be here to talk to us more about the Iowa caucuses, to lull us all into a deep, satisfying sleep, because it's a story that no one cares about anywhere who is not employed as a news anchor. But we'll pretend for just the briefest of moments later to pretend as though it's something that we have some interest in. Your phone calls and all that's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. And I make you a solemn vow right now, this promise from me to you: we will not play the I Have a Dream speech at any point today. We will not bore you by talking about it. We will not make you run to your radio to switch it over to, like, I don't know, the sounds of butterflies mating on KBOO or whatever it is those people play. We're not going to play any part or any segment of the I Have a Dream speech today, because no one wants to hear it. No one cares. No one ever needs to hear it again. It's something that no one ever needs to be assaulted with again by turning on the radio. And I must probably play the whole damn thing this morning anyway.
The whole thing, yep.
He does it every year.
You know, you know what it is? The I Have a Dream speech is like the, you know, it's like watching MASH or something. It's just, I mean, it's just constantly running. You can tune on any random channel today, and it's either going to be that or the Iowa caucus, you know? So it's like, I don't even need to play it anymore. I can just say it. I can just say, I have a dream, and then immediately the whole thing just starts to play in your head.
Then the announcer says, because we're taking it to the streets.
Yes. All right. Anyway, so that's all coming up. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. It's Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be noon. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, but I've been trapped in Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think? Yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster, and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
He's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
Just news. It's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And the weather in Pascocious, it says right here, in 1972, it forced about a quarter of the voters away.
No one cares.
There just isn't enough information. Yes, it's the day we've all been waiting for here in Newsland. It's the day of the Iowa Caucasians, or Caucasus, or both. Yes. A Hollywood star named Beth Broderick of Sabrina the Teenage Witch is going door-to-door for Dean in Iowa and is startled to find a supporter.
Are you going to vote for Howard Dean?
Yes.
Yes!
She's apparently communicating with the dog of the house as well.
Many Iowans are getting muddy-sounding phone call recordings from the candidates.
This is Dick Eppert. I hope you'll consider supporting and working for Howard Dean. This is Dick Eppert.
Yeah. nothing has a nice personal touch like a badly recorded
and to support another candidate
on an answer-matic. Yeah.
That's great stuff, isn't it? Well, let's go right to the Bush Watch.
Here's your Bush Watch.
He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard. That's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's a mild
yawn. That's my Bush.
President George W. Bush, his approval rating has dipped to 50%, and the U.S. electorate is evenly split for the 2004 presidential election year, according to a new poll. Doesn't this sound familiar? Given a choice between Bush and an unnamed Democratic candidate, 43% would vote for Bush and 45% would vote for the Democrat. Oh, my. That according to a CBS New York Times poll. 64% said, however, it is too early to say for sure about the Democratic nominee. Meanwhile, The boost that Bush enjoyed in the wake of Saddam Hussein's capture has faded. His 50% approval rating was down 8 percent points. Let's put him back down the hole, forget about him, bring him back up right before the election.
They should lose him again and then find him later. No, wait, here he is again. And it's because the unnamed, I mean, on the one hand, it's got to be depressing when unnamed, like, insert Democrat here, beat your ass, you know, with like 9 percentage points. But as soon as you insert anybody's name, because here's the thing is, you know what it is? The unnamed Democrat is sort of like a great movie that you're looking forward to, but you haven't actually seen yet. And in your mind, it's just the best movie that's ever been made. But then when you go to see it and find out it's just a big, colossal, steaming pile, that's what the Democratic Party is. The Democratic Party sort of like, the Geely of politics, you know, because on paper it looks like it's just fantastic. No, it's Ben Affleck, it's Jennifer Lopez, she's a lesbian, it's hot, and then you go see me like, oh, God, it's terrible. God, oh, it burns my eyes. You know, that's anyway, I'm just saying that's kind of what the Democratic Party is, because it's like, okay, what if behind this curtain I have this fantastic Democrat. Now, I'm not going to tell you who he is quite yet, but he's great. No, he's fantastic. You know, he cares about schools and the puppies and rainbows and the environment and he's tall and, no, really. But it's like as soon as you open the curtain, now it's John Kerry, you know, immediately then Bush just, you know, it's 4 more years. It's just so depressing. I mean, it's just so It's just so damn discouraging. But I don't know. I have no idea. If you ask me to call it right now, man, it's just like that the Democratic Party is so hapless. It's like the Democratic Party is like just a bunch of guys that got their bad legs tied together in a sack race. You know what I mean? Just trying to get across the field, and they just can't. It's like Bush doesn't even have to do anything. Bush can just sit there on his porch whittling a stick, watching the Republicans accidentally shoot themselves, or the Democrats shoot themselves in the foot over and over again. So, I mean, that if not, just the sheer haplessness of the Democratic Party will ensure that Bush gets four more years. It's just makes y'all despondent.
And that's today's Bush Watch.
There you go. There's
He's
your Bush
the president,
Watch.
Perfect. Resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
A Venezuelan fellow has been arrested for keeping his grandmother's body in the fridge. The 65-year-old from Caracas told police he didn't have enough money for a funeral. He didn't know what else to do. So he tried to embalm the body of his grandmother, who died at the age of, 103. But his efforts were unsuccessful, and the neighbors called police after smelling the dead body.
Yeah.
A police spokesman said he generally thought that keeping the body in the fridge was the obvious choice for the situation.
Well, that's what they do at the the place downtown, the morgue or whatever. My question is, what do you like? If somebody in your house just died, and you were thinking like looking around trying to embalm them with things you'd find, what do you use for that? Even I wouldn't even know what to be. I have no idea. It's what do you just do? Did you get a big tub full of Labatt's or something? Right in. What does one even embalm one's grandmother with when she kicks it?
Embalming fluid,
right there,
I would imagine.
Yeah, but you can't just buy that. Where is this at?
This is in Venezuela.
Who knows what those people do now?
Buy embalming fluid on the internet?
All I know about Venezuela, they got the biggest goddamn cockroaches you've ever seen down there. My friend Shane, when I was a kid, he lived in Venezuela for a while back, and when you're a kid, you're fascinated with insects. And so he came back with these cockroaches in jars that he captured, and they were like 4 inches long. That's the extent of my knowledge about Venezuela. It's like one big Roger Corman film down there. Just things, the Volkswagen, size cockroaches everywhere.
Anyway, moving along here. The Mirage is reportedly turning to the folks at Cirque du Soleil to replace the long-running Ziegfeld and Roy show. The Las Vegas Review-Journal reports that the new spinoff show is set for another city until Roy Horn, he was badly injured by the tiger attack. Of course, sources say the new show involves some of the biggest musical icons of the 20th century. Water performers in a 360-degree seating format.
I think, this is a show that I go see. If you just took the Cirque du Soleil performers and had them attacked by tigers, if you just guaranteed, they don't know. What a great reality show that would be. And that would be the name of the reality show. The Cirque du Soleil guys attacked by tigers. And it's like they come out, and the first time one of those little bastards in a leotard tries to do a little twirling thing, suddenly, it's just suddenly claw right on the jugular. I'd pay for that. I'd pay double whatever. I'd pay twice whatever you pay for that Blue Man Group. There ought to be all of my shows basically have one common theme. You know what I mean? It's just someone being hit in the face or set on fire or attacked by a tiger. So if you said, what's your big draw? We're gonna have Celine Dion attacked by a tiger halfway through the first. She doesn't know, And so it's like there's. My heart will go, just right there, taken down in the first row. I'd pay for that.
Who wouldn't?
No one ever thinks any of these things are good ideas with me.
A British police are investigating an alleged assault on scientist Stephen Hawking, the disabled cosmetologist and author of the best-selling A Brief History of Time.
Who attacks Stephen Hawking?
I don't know.
There's a special place in hell reserved for whoever does that. You can't attack a guy in a wheelchair who can't. He's got to do that. He can't even do the thing where he breathes through the. Did you know those people that have got that little thing, that thing they breathe through that moves them back? He doesn't even have that. He can just move like that one finger, like an epileptic cockroach over the keyboard. Isn't that his deal? He can't move at all.
Yeah.
You can't go beating that guy. That seems
somebody did
wrong. I mean, if easy.
And detectives want to question Hawking about a number of minor injuries he recently suffered.
That's going to be a long interview.
Detectives were probing allegations that the university professor had been assaulted. Police are investigating an allegation.
Ow. Ow. Please stop hitting me.
He can only speak through a computerized voice synthesizer.
I can't even bring myself to do that anymore.
Ouch. Ouch. Ouch.
Oh, come on, that's funny. It was an obvious joke. It was sitting right there. There was no way I could pass it up. We'll do this instead. We'll come back and we'll try to avoid jokes about beating the physically handicapped. I mean, the joke, like Stephen Hawking himself, is just, it's just too easy not to hit that joke. You know what I mean? It's just no effort at all required. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Sarah dealing with the traffic.
You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
That's right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, Paul Bremer is taking some tough questions from reporters today about his plea to the UN to offer assistance to Iraq.
As I'm sure you're aware, there's a lot of speculation in the press that what you're trying to do here is to persuade the United Nations to help pull your chestnuts out of the fire, that this process that you have set up, culminating in July 1st, isn't going so well because of Ayatollah Sistani digging in his heels.
Not really, replies Bremer.
Secretary General agreed with all seriousness and with all urgency to examine that question. We will begin our technical exchange of information with his officials this afternoon.
This Ayatollah is going to cause him a lot of trouble.
I can never... I know this sounds dangerously close to they all look the same to me, but I mean, can I just tell you, I can't tell any of the Ayatollahs apart. I was just watching on the Friday, I was watching CNN, and it's like, they all look like Khomeini to me. I mean, like, Khomeini's the only... You know, the thing is, Khomeini's sort of the one that's just lodged in everybody's brain. You know, he's the sort of gold standard for Ayatollahs. I don't remember any after him. There was Ayatollah Khomeini, and then he died in, what, like 80-something?
And then they were throwing his dead corpse in the air. Remember that?
I really don't.
But well, he's a jolly good fellow, and they pulled a body out of the coffin or whatever they threw him in, an ice tray.
Bouncing him around like a beach ball.
Yeah,
like a beach ball at a Who concert. Excellent. Well done. Let's talk to Paul in Portland, a full-time listener. Paul, what up, yo?
Hey, Rick. I just wanted to say I was at Bigger Than Jesus on Saturday.
Oh, thank you.
I really enjoyed it, man.
Thank you.
You took me through a myriad of emotions, anger and sadness and happiness, and it was very well done. I was really impressed.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. I just wanted to say that I appreciate you doing that.
Well, I'm glad you came. Thank you for coming. We had a great crowd on Friday and Saturday, and so I'm glad you were there. Now that I'm in shameless auto horse. See, the great thing about this call is it lets me get like into full auto pimp mode. So you spread the word. If you got people who are into it, you think they might like it. Don't let them. Don't forget, we got two more shows coming up this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday.
I'll let them know for sure.
Excellent.
Oh, and F Matt with the Portland weather forecast.
Yeah.
This F Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Excellent. Thank you. That's
Would you like to go into auto horror mode? I can. All right, go ahead. Pour it out, baby.
Oh yeah. Tickets on sale now, 24/7. All major credit cards accepted. RickEmerson.com. Oh, yeah. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Rick, I just heard Tim accidentally call Stephen Hawking a cosmetologist, which, if I'm not mistaken, is someone who does your nails and gives you facial peels. Last I heard, he was a cosmologist studying planets, the universe, etc. Perhaps.
Sorry.
Sims the news guy. What do you want from me? Perhaps he found that too challenging and traded in his telescope for an emery board. I can imagine all the gossip at his salon, Stan says. Did you hear about that new guy Sharon's been hanging around lately? Yes, I heard he's some sort of hunky young construction worker. All right. Yeah, all right, there you go. Cosmetology's funny, though. I mean, it's funny even without Stephen Hawking, but I can, Stephen Hawking is the guy who's, like, you know, giving you a manicure of the,
I feel that you are more of an autumn and less of a fall.
Or, I guess those are the same thing. What am I?
He'd have an easy time doing nails in his chair, wouldn't he?
Oh, just stop. Just, why do you gotta be like that? All right, so if I, wait, what season am I?
I have some makeup books I could bring in. We could figure it out.
I really don't care that much.
You asked.
Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Well, a North Carolina politician who said he was inspired by Roy Moore has followed the ousted Alabama Chief Justice's example. City Councilman Vernon Robinson, a Republican candidate for Congress. What else?
His name's Vernon. What else is he going to be? What is he going to be? Again, a member of the Green Party?
He's placed a one-ton granite monument. I guess they're selling these everywhere. To the Ten Commandments in front of the Winston-Salem City Hall.
The Winston-Salem City Hall?
This is in North Carolina.
Is it sponsored by a cigarette company or something?
This is probably what it's named
City Hall, brought to you by Lucky Strike.
Yeah. It's a four-foot-tall blue granite block inscribed on one side with the Ten Commandments and on the other side the Bill of Rights. He said he paid for the monument and is installing it without authorization because it's closed today, being King Day.
Apparently they don't have the word irony in the dictionary down there. Freaking Bill of Rights. All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland, or the other one, if you're from the other place. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Patrolling the corridors of power on Capitol Hill, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney. But you're where? You're in Rust Bucket, Iowa, or whatever, right?
Hey, it's called Des Moines, buddy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to front on the great metropolis of, of Des Moines. Is it? I've never been there, so please forgive the curiosity, but is Iowa one of those places just absolutely flat?
Yeah, no question. I guess Kansas might be a little flatter, but you can see for some distance, yes.
Because this is the good news, bad news assignment for you, right? Where on the one hand, it's the cradle of American politics, you know, and presidential election, you know, decision-making. On the other hand, it's in, you know, Iowa. It's
like I talked to our Des Moines affiliate earlier today, Rick, and their final question for me was, what's your favorite restaurant?
Here's the thing. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that the caucus system is really. I'm not going to ask you to explain the entire thing, but it is sort of. We're sort of obtuse about it. It is sort of confusing and strange. So what is it? Am I oversimplifying this when I say that a bunch of people from Iowa get together at like the Grange Hall and argue about a bunch of stuff, and then they cast ballots, and that tells us who Americans want for president?
Well, in general terms, that's right, but I think it's not correct to say that it's that tough to explain either. Really, the key to it, Rick, is when they get together, they'll divide up into groups based on which candidate they like, and you've got to have, if you're a candidate, at least 15% of the attendees in your corner. If you don't, then they discuss it back and forth, make their pitches, and they re-divide up. So eventually they'll come up with a total, but that's why it's so important who you support for second place sometimes.
Let me ask you this, I don't mean to sound dumb about this sort of thing, but why do we need to have a caucus? Why do these exist?
It's just the way that politics have developed in Iowa. There are, I can't tell you how many, there are a handful of other states that do have caucuses. Idaho, for some reason, comes to mind. But it's just the way they prefer to do things here. And eventually, over a period of months, the choices will translate down to the 45 delegates they'll send to the Democratic convention in July.
Mm. And so the word right now is among the Democratic folks that, it's pretty much a four-way tie right now, isn't it?
Well, it is, but we're seeing some late strength by John Kerry. One poll that just came out today actually gives him a lead outside of the statistical margin of error. So, you know, he's looking pretty strong right now, but there are a lot of factors that are unknown, Rick. You know, we could have a record turnout here. About 10% of the people still say they're undecided. A substantial chunk also say they're willing to look at another candidate. So, really, it is up for grabs.
I see that Lieberman is actually already in New Hampshire. Lieberman's already there. He's kind of doing the ostrich thing, just there as though Iowa doesn't exist.
He and Wesley Clark both decided they just weren't polling well enough to waste a lot of time and money here, and decided to go to New Hampshire, where I will be next week. You know, the question is whether that's too little, too late. You know, by the time somebody comes roaring out of Iowa and they do well in New Hampshire, it might be too late to catch them.
I don't really know a whole lot about how the sort of internal machinations of these things work, but when somebody like Clark or Lieberman, they're already kind of stumping in New Hampshire trying to get a foothold there. Is that because one of them is hoping to get the nod for VP?
It's a good question. I would doubt that either of those two specific candidates would like to be on the vice presidential side of the ticket. You know, John Edwards comes to mind, but he's denied that's what he's going to do. But you know how that works.
Yeah.
They'll deny it until they accept it. So.
All right. There you go. There's just CNN radio correspondent John Bisney living the high life in Des Moines, Iowa. Woo! It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Rick, not only did Tim say cosmetologist, but he appears to be reading the weather from 2 weeks ago. Get to the bottom of these freezing rain reports, please. He seems to be the only one that's heard of it. F. Matt with a caucus, Iowa or otherwise.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Craig. Now, now, where did you get the freezing?
From the AP.
So the AP claims that there's freezing rain?
It's dated this morning.
All right. Okay. Freezing. When did freezing rain begin? Freezing. Okay, look. Let me just tell you this here. Freezing rain is ice. Why don't you just say ice? You know what I mean? It's like when you're flying in the plane and they talk about a water landing. That's a crash, is what that is. There's no water landing. It's a plane hitting the goddamn ocean. That's what it is. There's no water landing. You don't land on the... That's all it is. Freezing rain is ice.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If I don't see freezing rain by the end of the show, I'm going to change that forecast myself.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
It's something more palatable.
All right. We've got a very special penis watch today, don't we?
Let's do it right now.
All right.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away.
La da da.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Ba-dum-bum.
Canada is cool with a happy penis song. The song lauding the joys of an enormous penis, which you just heard, is not obscene. Because the object of the lyrics' affection isn't necessarily sexual, says a Canadian regulator. The Canadian Broadcast Standards Council was reacting to a complaint from a Calgary radio listener to a joke song that declares, I've got the cure for all my blues. I just take a look at my enormous penis and my troubles start melting away.
Yeah.
You heard it here
first.
Da
Vinci's Notebook. Represent.
The listeners complained that the song was obscene fell flat before the council's members who said on Friday the item did not break its code of ethics.
Who complains about the take a look at my enormous... Whoever that is should be...
That's a pleasant, happy song.
Beaten in the face with a shovel. That's what ought to happen to whoever complained about that. Who complains about it? It's a happy, jaunty little tune. The guy's proud of his enormous penis, as you would be. It would make everything a little bit brighter and better. Look, when your penis is happy, you're happy. You can't spell happiness without penis. We all know that it's true.
The discussion of a penis size is not in and of itself sufficiently a sexual matter that can be said to be a breach of code, says the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council. Calgary's CJFM replied to the complaint by saying most of its core audience, men 18 to 49, enjoy such items as the enormous penis.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely the case. There's a very special penis watch. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
My troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah Dillon's got the look at the traffic.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Hey, I would like to remind you, if you go to rickemerson.com, we've got the... Actually, I got some stills from this weekend's show. If you weren't there, if you want to know the exciting happenings that you missed, you can go to rickemerson.com. Those are, we'd like to thank the lovely Diana from downtown who brought us this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's actually 7. Because I just saw the Governator Ale. You know, there's that ale that they made, the Schwarzenegger-themed beer. So there's a big bottle of the Governator Ale, but then right next to it is this dogfish head, and the most notable thing about this is the fact that there's a big sticker on it that says 20% alcohol by volume. That's Portland right there. See, anybody, and we get these people listen online, and they... you know, they listen in whatever, you know, Calgary or someplace, and they want to know what makes Portland unique and distinct and different and better. Right here. 20% alcohol by volume, you pussies. That's what I'm talking. Can I just tell you this? So on whatever was Saturday, I had some people I knew from Washington State that came. Let me just say this. I can't fathom these people. There was on Friday. I don't know, I shouldn't just dwell about the greatness of me, but I mean, but on Friday, there were these people that came from Toronto. It's like, I wouldn't drive 20 minutes to see my ass, but it's like there's people that came from Toronto, so it's like, go, whatever. Anyway, so but some people came down on Saturday from Washington State, and on the way to the thing, on the way to Bigger Than Jesus, they stopped at like, what, a micro, you know, the micro, you know, brew pub or whatever. And it's like, and they asked me later, they're like, what do you put in your beer here? I had two, and I couldn't even stand up. So, that's, you know. It's like, you know what says it all? I was down at the, what's that place downtown, the Roxy? That place by the Clyde Hotel. And how great is it that we have a hotel called the Clyde? Can we all just stop and reflect upon the beauty of that for a moment? Anyway, so I'm down there at the Roxy, and there's just a big T-shirt. I have to clean it for the radio, but there's just a big T-shirt that just says, Portland effing Oregon. And that says it all right there. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so there's this beer that's 20% alcohol. Speaking of Clyde, we'll set that aside for the next time. And Skull Splitter. See, you know, you go anywhere else and it's just, you know, all you get is that, what is that pseudo, like that Red Dog or whatever, which is, that's like a fake microbrew to begin with because it's made by Budweiser. You know, that's all you get there. That's all you have is just, you know, Heineken and Schlitz. That's all you have. Here's Skull Splitter Ale. Just back the hell up. All right. They ought to just want, they ought to have a beer that just says Portland, goddamn Oregon. That's everybody, that's what everybody should drink. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Oh, I just ran back here. So I called the AP, who sent out this forecast, and they said, well, it's not our fault. That's from the Weather Service. Well, what should I do now? Why don't you call the weather? Not like the guys at the AP have anything better to do but copy stories from the Oregonian all day.
And so,
help me.
Okay, so this originated, so the threat of freezing snow or whatever originated where?
Nobody knows.
So they just made it up.
Yeah, and they're all blaming each other.
All right.
So the AP say, call the Weather Service. So I call the Weather Service. I said, well, that's the AP's fault. So nobody can agree whose fault this is, but it's wrong, guys.
Okay, so there is. So what is the actual, because it's not even raining regular rain now. So what is the actual weather forecast?
We don't know. But we'll find out.
Okay.
But it's not going to rain. There's no freezing rain. They screwed up. They're all blaming each other.
Can we just take a little pride in the fact that we spotted that? We were the first ones to note that this was an undoubtedly inaccurate weather forecast.
So there.
All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
Well, let's do the J-Lo watch, shall we?
Here's your J-Lo watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
So you can depend on us to get to the truth of the matter.
I knew it was made up.
Well, Ben Affleck says, as promoting his new film, Jersey Girl, won't be proclaiming Affleck and Lopez together again.
They should. I mean, just to sort of, you know, be amusing about it, they should. They should promote it as a follow-up to Geely.
Well, while real-life sweethearts Affleck and Lopez do co-star in the upcoming Jersey Girl, their on-screen collaboration will not be the selling point. Affleck says the failure of Geely actually might benefit Jersey Girl, but he doesn't go into why that might happen. Marketeers won't be able to pitch the film as a Ben-Gen flick, but they'll sell it for what it is, a story about a father and his young daughter.
So it's a movie star, and here's the thing about Ben Affleck. I think I've nailed down what it is. The thing about Ben Affleck is this. Ben Affleck continually gets cast in these sort of like leading man star roles because he looks like a leading man. You know, he's got those kind of classic 50s like movie good looks and whatnot, and he's got the big strong chin. But he's just, the thing is, he's just kind of bland. He's just not a leading man. That's what it is. I've kind of put my finger, it's not that he's a bad actor as such. I mean, he's not a bad actor per se. He's a very likable guy. He's got a lot of, like, I was watching Inside the Actor Studio last night with him, and, you know, he's got a lot of charisma. He's, you know, he seems like a cool guy, but he's just not leading man material. But because he looks the way he does, they always cast him as a leading man. So what Jersey Girl is a guy who can't really act well enough to be a leading man paired with a small child, which just sounds like the sort, it just sounds like 2 hours. I mean, it's Ben Affleck, a small child, and Jennifer Lopez. I mean, it just sounds like you would have more fun going home and setting your testicles on fire. I mean, it's just, you know.
Well, we learned a long time ago Jennifer Lopez isn't in it too much.
Yeah, well, she dies 12 minutes into the film.
Yeah.
She did in Geely, too.
Yeah, which, really?
Well, kind of.
Does she die in Geely?
No, I think she did at the end, and she was still alive.
So that's that. The film is set to hit theaters in March.
Yeah, have fun, Kevin. There's your J-Lo watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show. We got this from, let's see, Teresa. Rick, as someone who moved to Portland from Des Moines last year, I can tell you with some degree of certainty that here, let me just, before I even read this email, let me tell you that I actually know people who've moved here from Iowa and then moved back. Like, how desperate, how sad does your life have to be when you're moving back to Iowa?
They miss those amber waves of grain.
I can tell you with some degree of certainty the only thing more boring than Iowa caucus day is every other day of the year in Iowa. The state is not entirely flat, just devoid of diversity, open minds, and fun in any form. F. Matt with my bigger-than-Jesus ticket stuff.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's like Utah without Mormons.
It's a Utah without all the fun, cutting-edge underground culture. Here's Tim Riley.
Seattle's Experience Music Project is laying off 129 employees, the third batch of layoffs since the Rock and Roll Museum opened 3.5 years ago. The staff cuts are part of the effort to run efficiently while not compromising exhibits and educational programs. 46 workers were let go last February, 124 the year before. Most of the latest round of layoffs were administrative employees. The job cuts leave the museum with a staff of 214. Why do they even need that many? Last year, about 443,000 people attended the museum, a 13% drop from 2002 and down 30% from 2001.
Has anybody seen, anybody gone to the Experience Music thing?
No.
Well, you lived in Seattle, though, didn't you? Why didn't you
well,
see
Well, Bremerton's like an hour away.
Yeah.
I've been into the lobby, but I never wanted to pay like the 15 or 20 bucks that it takes to get in.
All I know, I don't even know what's there. All I know is they have the drum machine that Dre used on the Chronic. That's the only exhibit I even know that they have. So, and it's just something that... You know, I don't mean to sound overly like purist about it and whatnot, but there's something in me that rebels at the whole idea of there being a museum for rock and roll. It just seems fundamentally wrong somehow. I mean, I guess from what I've heard, it's several steps above that hideous monstrosity they've got in Cleveland. But I just it just seems inappropriate. Like they shouldn't, you know, if you're gonna have like a some sort of a tribute to rock in a building, it shouldn't be in like a it shouldn't be museum form. You should just have it like in somebody like a big basement or something, you know. Rick, I can't believe Diana from Downtown's beer actually got to you. What happened? Matt, Jolie, Sarah, and Clyde missed a freebie again? Well, it's because Clyde's not here. Although, Clyde, can I just tell you this? Then as soon as I said, free, beer, 20%, like, Clyde, there's probably Spidey sense. Clyde's kind of got this, but it's sort of like a leech sense, you know, where it's like he just, you know, and there's like a leech sound, a leech alarm that goes off in his head. There's Tony Aromas. I must go, you know, and it's... And she just begins the long slog to work so he can intercept my cornbread or something when it gets here.
Ashton Kutcher plays a young man struggling to get over harmful memories from his childhood. But while doing so, he discovers a technique that allows him to travel back in time and occupy his childhood body, changing his history forever in the butterfly effect.
Can we go back in time and beat him to death with a mallet while he's in the crib?
Now, talk about the concept, won't you, Ashton, of this butterfly effect.
Because of the smallest change in our reality changes everything. It's like, how many times have you been a second late? Or, you know, if you would have been 1 second sooner, you would have got hit by the car.
How would you explain this film to a friend?
If I were to try to explain this movie to someone, that basically what I would say is it's a guy who doesn't know who he is.
What kind of accent is that?
Because he's blacked out every traumatic event in his life. So thus, he finds that he has the ability to go back and change his past, thus changing his present.
Doesn't sound like the brightest fellow around here.
She really doesn't.
He did throw in a couple of buses.
Ashton Kutcher is just one of those. Where did he come from? I mean, I know he's on Punk'd, but it's like, where?
He's in Wisconsin. He's on
that 70s show.
Oh,
that's where he started.
Can I tell you that I have never once seen that program? I've seen 12 minutes of it. I saw it once when Alice Cooper was the guest, and that's it. I mean, I've never, and maybe I'm missing out on it. Maybe there's just some huge, big pantheon of American talent there that I'm not privy to because I don't watch it. But it's like as soon as Mark Marshall said it was his very favorite show, like I just X'd it off the list, never watch. You know, just immediately removed it. You know what I'm talking about? It's like when. It's like when some girl in an Abercrombie and Fitch shirt tells you that it's her favorite group, you know, and you just immediately are like, I'm never, you know, you take it off the list of things you're ever going to listen to. You know what I'm talking about. Are we doing a thing? Are we breaking? All right, yeah, okay. So we'll do this. We'll come back. We got more on the way. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KTK. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Stay there. We'll be back.
From Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Riley. Don't miss the season final hat-trick Thursday with your Winter Hawks. We get the Rose Garden Thursday night for great hockey plus $2 dogs. Hot dogs, so does it more. It's your Thursday celebration. Tickets at Ticketmaster or WinterHawks.com. A teenager is facing car theft and assault charges after a high-speed pursuit this morning that left a string of damaged cars on the I-5 between Salem and Portland. 19-year-old Christopher J. Meetoff has been charged with reckless endangerment, reckless driving, criminal mischief after he was arrested following the crash. At least five vehicles were struck, but thankfully no injuries or damage reported in that freeway chase. It involved sheriff's deputies from three counties and the OSP. The chase began around 6:30 when Marion County deputies responded to a report of a suspicious vehicle in Northeast Salem. The city of Bend has outgrown its supply of industrial land. Officials say companies including Nike, Microsoft, and Walmart have considered putting facilities in Bend, but there's no place left to build. Sucks for them. Brand new forecast, chance of showers today, highs in the mid-40s. Tim Riley, KOTK News.